Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Another week of the show, live with you every day, weekdays at 11 a.m. here from our studios in Jeffersonville. So glad to have you with us. And we are another weekend through college football and another weekend closer to the start of the IU and the Big Ten football season. It's going to get really crazy this week in sports. I've kind of said all these things are overlapping. I know the NBA ended last night with the Lakers winning the championship, but locally, we're headed to the football sectionals. We have the last week of the regular season coming up. A lot of fall sports, I think all of them now, are in their respective postseasons or getting ready to start their respective postseasons. We had some winners in soccer and other sports that we'll talk about here in just a moment. But also, this week, in addition to getting closer to the start of the Big Ten and IU football seasons, which means we're going to talk about that more and the focus is going to be more on that, we also have IU Basketball Media Day coming up. It's a virtual deal on Tuesday afternoon. So from Wednesday forward, we're going to hear from Archie Miller on this program. You're going to see tons of stories out there with thoughts on the upcoming season from an IU basketball perspective. We're going to hear from a lot of players on Tuesday, so we'll have audio from them throughout the rest of the week. And I really think it's interesting to hear directly from the players right as the season is underway, at least practices and what they have to say and what you can learn from them and how they've developed and what they focused on in the offseason. So from an IU perspective, football, we're getting closer, so it's going to become more prominent. And from a basketball perspective, you don't really get the chance to hear from Archie Miller a lot. The players don't speak a lot. Some programs in the offseason, they keep feeding them out to you. They give you regular content, regular opportunities to interview. That isn't necessarily the case with IU basketball. So when you get an opportunity like Media Day on Tuesday, albeit virtually, it still will produce a lot of content and a lot of interesting conversations as we really think about the upcoming season. And, of course, with college hoops, the schedule, as we are in the middle of October now, the schedule is really the big deal. What's everything going to look like? How's all the non-conference stuff going to work together? Will their games be in controlled environments or bubbles in different places of the country? What will the Big Ten look like? Will there be any early Big Ten games in the month of December? Will Big Ten games be played at college campuses, or will there be some sort of bubbles or multiple bubbles for the Big Ten Conference? It's just amazing to think that really a month and 2 weeks or so from the start of college hoops on November 25th, we're kind of clueless. We don't have a schedule. There's some rumors about what certain things could look like, but nothing substantial necessarily about the Big Ten. I think the most confident thing we know at this point is that the Big Ten is going to be really good this year, that Iowa and Illinois are thought by a lot of people maybe to be Final Four caliber teams, and that it's going to be a 20-game schedule. Some conferences are doing less. Some are doing more as far as the number of games within conference play, but I think the Big Ten, it seems, from the reports out there, pretty set on a 20-game schedule, which has been normal for the conference the last couple of years. So that's really all we know, and maybe we'll learn more tomorrow when Archie Miller speaks and some of the players talk. But you've got to believe, and I think the thoughts out there this week or early next week, we're going to find out more about schedules for teams and about some more of the other non-conference games for Indiana. And then I think following that, this week, next week sometime, you've almost got to find out what the structure of the Big Ten will look like. Maybe you don't find out the locations, or maybe you don't find out all the specific dates just yet, but I think you'll find out opponents or something coming up soon for at least from the Big Ten Conference side of things. So we have a lot ahead of us, both locally and at the college level as well. And, of course, I mentioned last night the Lakers won the NBA championship, the fourth for LeBron, his first in L.A. And I tell you, the combination of LeBron and Anthony Davis, if they stick together, you've got to believe that they'll be in contention for future NBA championships. Although, next year, depending on when the NBA starts, you're going to see a lot of stars that were out this year or players that opted out. I guess that was some, not many. It's going to be a tough Western Conference for the Lakers to get back, but that combination of LeBron and AD, I wouldn't bet against them, that's for sure. But we got baseball, too, and I love postseason baseball. We don't talk about it a lot. I haven't watched it a lot to this point, here and there a little bit, but as we get closer and closer to the World Series, that's always fun to get more and more involved in. And that's the one thing right now, Major League Baseball, to me at least, that and high school football, they seems kind of normal. I know that with baseball there aren't fans, and with football the attendance is very limited in most cases. But, you know, it's starting to get fall time. The leaves are changing. A lot of the things that we're used to in the fall, Harvest Homecoming, other festivals, other public events that go on, they've all been canceled because of the pandemic. But college, or I should say high school football and Major League Baseball playoffs are kind of synced up where they should be. And as it gets to be a little colder and as it gets to be closer to basketball season, those are the things that will help us get there from a sports perspective. But glad to have you with us today. Let's take a quick look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll start with our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. In the headlines today, a little IU basketball. Archie Miller was interviewed by Don Fisher, the radio voice of the Hoosiers. We'll talk some about that. We'll also tell you more about some college football stuff. Associated Press poll out in Indiana getting some votes in the AP poll despite not playing a game yet. And also college football bowl projections. Now that this is week six, or this was week six of college football that's in the books now, and Indiana and the Big Ten haven't played a game yet, but Indiana is projected to go to a bowl. And I think any bowl you can get to if you're Indiana this year and you're playing a tough all-Big Ten schedule with no gimmies or no non-conference games, any bowl you get to is an accomplishment. And if you can win that bowl, it's an absolute success. And I'll tell you two different bowls that I saw some of the national college basketball analysts predict the Hoosiers to, at least at this point. We'll also recap some things with high school sports and some of our soccer sectional champions. We've got a few of those locally that won over the weekend, and we'll talk some football as well. Big weekend of football, and it was a really good weekend specifically for Silver Creek. They did a couple things this weekend that they haven't done since football's been back, and that are a big step forward for that program as they kind of take center stage right now of our local high school football team. So we'll talk that and more in segment one, our Zaxby's headlines. Later in the show, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll touch on IU football. We'll talk about IU basketball as well. And then we'll wrap things up today with Chad Gilbert. He's the athletic director at Charlestown High School. He's a former basketball coach here in the area. He's also on the IHSA executive board. And we always talk local sports and some hoops when Chad is with me on the show. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And in our headlines today, or before I tell you the headlines today, reminder that we'd love to hear from you. I know some of you have do a great job. You send questions, comments, topics, complaints, praises, lots of things. And we appreciate that. HoosierReport@gmail.com. At Hoosier Hills on Twitter. But love to get your comment, your question for our show today, and perhaps it'll get used on the air. Again, HoosierReport@gmail.com. It's a real easy way to drop a line, and also at Hoosier Hills on Twitter, all one word, Hoosier Hills. All right, headlines today brought to you by Zaxby's. Archie Miller with a nice long-form interview. I think it was almost 30 minutes with Don Fisher. The podcast is available on the IU Athletics website. You can also search for it in Apple Podcasts as well. But really, one of the few opportunities this offseason to hear from Archie. He's done a few interviews, podcasts during the pandemic with some of the national college basketball analysts. But he really goes through a lot with Don Fisher. He broke down a lot of different players. He He talked about a number of different players. He talks about the schedule and some of the challenges putting that together. He talks a lot about the addition of Kenya Hunter to the coaching staff and how that sort of thing came about. I think it's worth a listen, especially as we head into a week where there's going to be a lot more IU basketball content with Media Day tomorrow than what there has been. But again, it's a worthwhile listen, 25 or 30 minutes with Don Fisher. Archie Miller making kind of a rare appearance, and you're going to get to hear him again. He'll have, I would say, a reasonably lengthy press conference tomorrow. Well, he'll have a statement about the season and then take questions from the media. And again, it's going to be done by Zoom, and we'll have some of that audio for you on Wednesday once everything's done. But also the players you'll hear from tomorrow as well in that virtual media day. College football poll, new one came out after week six. Ohio State leads the Big Ten in the AP Top 25. They came in at number six. Indiana's opening opponent here in a few weeks, Penn State, up to number nine in the poll. Also, Wisconsin is number 15. Michigan is number 19. And Minnesota cracks the top 25, or has been in the top 25 at number 24. Indiana, one of the Big Ten teams that wasn't in the top 25, but they are receiving votes. They are listed in that category. So Indiana getting some national attention. We've talked about that. We'll see how they do it against a very tough all-Big Ten schedule. It's going to be a tough road for everybody in the conference, especially a team like Indiana that's trying to climb up the ranks a little bit in a very tough division of Big Ten football. But they are getting a little love nationally. At least they're thought of. They're on the radar as they get ready to kick off the season here in a few weeks. As far as the bowls and some of the projections way early for college football bowls, I've seen Indiana by a couple of the ESPN writers predicted to two different bowls. One of the writers predicts Indiana against Pittsburgh in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which takes place at the Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. Another writer from ESPN predicted Indiana to make a return trip after a few years back to Yankee Stadium for the new era Pinstripe Bowl. Obviously, that takes place in New York, and he had them predicted to pair against Virginia. Of course, it's still a long way out, and it's hard, I would think, especially this year, to make those types of predictions when you haven't seen a full conference play yet in college football, although, again, 6 weeks of college football are in the books. No Big Ten games just yet. High school notes over the weekend. Boy, it was a busy weekend for high school sports across the state of Indiana. From a sectional standpoint, Jeffersonville fell to Columbus East in the boys' soccer sectional in the championship game. The Providence boys, they won their ninth sectional championship in a row on Saturday night, and the Floyd Central girls also sectional champions, as was Silver Creek. Floyd Central girls won their fifth in a row. Silver Creek girls win their fourth championship, fourth sectional title in that program's history. So lots of local teams moving on to regionals coming up later this week. Jeffersonville tennis, they had the boys team at Semmes State. They were defeated there but had a really nice season. And, of course, cross country also running as well. Borden and Floyd Central, the Borden boys, the Floyd Central girls won the Crawford County cross country sectionals this weekend. And from a football perspective, keep in mind we had 5+ hours of local coverage on Friday night, and that was highlighted by Silver Creek with a big win over Brownstown. It was the first time that Silver Creek at the varsity level had defeated Brownstown. It was also the first time that Silver Creek has won the Mid-Southern Conference Championship. So hats off to Coach Pappenhaus, former coach, now athletic director John Dablow. Big stuff for the Dragons. They've got a great chance. They take on Cordon Friday night to finish the regular season undefeated. And normally, a team makes it through conference and regular season undefeated, you're ready to say this team could make some noise in the postseason. I definitely think that Silver Creek has the potential to make some noise in the postseason. But as we discussed last week, the pairings came out Thursday night. That sectional, that 4A sectional that Silver Creek football is in, they open up out of the gate. Now, they do host East Central, who's, again, a power in 4A football. It's a tough one. East Central is really good. And what happens if the Dragons can win against East Central? And I think East Central may even be the favorite on the road, despite the fact their record won't be as perfect. I think they've lost one game to date. They may be the favorite in that game. But I tell you, if Silver Creek can win that game against East Central, which is going to be a tough one, their reward would be to take on Mooresville, another really good team in 4A. So that bottom part of the bracket, those first two opening round games that produce winners into the same semifinal matchup, feature, I think, three of the best 4A teams in the state, definitely in the southern half of the state. There's no question about that. Also, high school football over the weekend, I thought Providence had a really good win. They were able to hold Milan, who's a 1A team, but having a strong season. They've got a good football program there. They were able to hold them on the last drive, and Providence wins 29-21. That's a really big win for the Pioneers, who are looking to kind of turn the corner and to finish the regular season strong. They've got Linton Stockton next week at home before they head to the sectional play. And I tell you, I like Providence's chances. They go on the road to Union County, who's a pretty good team, but with what we've seen in Providence getting better, who knows what can happen for the Pioneers. Also, New Albany got a win over a much-improved Madison team over the weekend. It was a high-scoring affair, 47-41. New Albany started off strong. Madison scored just before half and then really challenged the Bulldogs in the second half, but New Albany was able to hold on. Also, other football notes, Clarksville, after winning three in a row to start the year, they've been in a little slide. They were defeated over the weekend by Cordon, a very reasonably strong Cordon team. So Clarksville still looking for another victory before they close out the regular season. But that's kind of a quick look at high school football from over the weekend on Friday night, at least some of the highlights. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back in segment two today, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll talk some IU football, also IU basketball as well. Don't forget, love to hear from you. Submit your questions, your comments, HoosierReport@gmail.com. You can also tweet me at Hoosier Hills, Hoosier Hills, all one word, on Twitter. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
I always enjoy starting the week with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. We talk IU football and basketball this time of year when Zach is with us Mondays on the program. And Zach, we'll get to some football. We'll get to some IU basketball. It's a big week for both, the football preparing, getting closer to the start of the regular season, and, of course, basketball getting ready for a virtual media day coming up tomorrow. But some general questions first. Coming off the heels of the NBA championship last night, LeBron James wins his fourth title. I think we're similar in age, so we grew up with Michael Jordan being the star, magical moments that he had with the Chicago Bulls. The question is out there. It's often debated on social media. Your thoughts on where does LeBron James stand in a category of all-time NBA greats? Where does he stand with Michael Jordan? Your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it. I tweeted something about it last night, and I've believed this for a long time. I think you can always debate who the best is, quote unquote, beyond probably Wayne Gretzky. I think we can all agree that Wayne Gretzky is the best hockey player of all time. Beyond that, you know, in soccer, it could be Messi or, you know, Pele or Maradona. And football, it can be Brady or Montana or Barry Sanders, whoever. You know, in basketball, I think you can have a conversation about who the best of all time is. I'll hear an argument for Jordan over LeBron. I just won't hear an argument for the idea that LeBron doesn't belong in that conversation with, I think, Jordan, certainly Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then if you want to start extending the list, I think you can probably throw, you know, players like Wilt Chamberlain, Magic Johnson, Bill Russell in there. You know, what's always struck me about LeBron James, and I get the people who say, you know, oh, well, he's moved teams. He's gone to different teams to win titles. Jordan never moved teams. And I think that's an argument that conveniently ignores a lot of circumstances, both around Jordan's career and around LeBron's career, and around, frankly, also just the nature of the NBA then versus now. But the thing that I've always respected about LeBron James above everything else is that I don't believe that in the history of organized American team sports, there's ever been an athlete who has had to deal with greater pressure, scrutiny, and expectation from a younger age and somehow managed to not just meet that expectation, but surpass it the way LeBron James has. And do all that with, you know, while being, by all accounts, a pillar in his community, you know, a role model, a good parent, et cetera, and so forth. I think you've got to be willfully ignorant of what LeBron James has done to suggest it. Never mind his actual skills, the fact that at any given time he can be the best player in the league at four different positions on the floor, which is just mind-bending. I think you have to be willfully ignorant of what he's done to suggest that he doesn't belong in the conversation with the absolute best, the absolute upper crust, you know, top five, top three, whatever you want to call it. I harken back to the old Bum Phillips line about Earl Campbell. He says, I don't know if he's the best ever to do it, but I know that when they call I know it doesn't take long for them to call the roll. LeBron James is very much in that class for me.
Absolutely. Just curious your thoughts coming off what I thought was a great NBA finish. I know last night's game wasn't very exciting. It was a Laker blowout, but there were some tremendous games. And, Zach, I know that you obviously stay busy covering the IU beat. I know you watch a lot of soccer, but you're a big sports guy. I'm not sure how much you sit down and watch the playoff games. But thinking back, even early in the playoffs, there were just some fantastic games throughout. And I know there were some people that loved the NBA this year, not just because of the basketball on the floor, but because it really was the only basketball we had in some time. And other people, and also because of the message they promoted this year, in addition to the hoops, other people weren't as big a fans of the off-the-court stuff or the messages, and so you hear that debate that goes on as well. But from a basketball perspective, I thought there were some classic games, and I thought the bubble was a huge success.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things you say there really nails it. The bubble was a huge success, and as we've seen other you know, other leagues maybe not try the bubble and really struggle with it, namely the NFL. It reminds you, I think, just how good basketball was in that regard. And it's worth saying, listen, yes, basketball did the bubble. Yes, basketball set up all these, you know, these protocols and safeguards and things. But it takes the buy-in of these people to make it work, too. And I think, you know, I don't want to start grasping at straws. But I think that when you do talk about wherever you stand on the sort of social justice movement and messaging, when you see the league, you know, really sort of, not that everyone is speaking with absolutely one voice, but when you see everyone is willing to kind of come together and work collectively in that sort of setting, and then you also see the way in which basically everyone, I mean, there's one or two exceptions at the very beginning, but the way that everyone is able, by and large, through that whole process to sort of adhere to those policies and protocols for the greater good, it does suggest to you what I think a lot of people have felt for a long time, which is that the NBA is, not that any league is ever perfect, but the NBA may be as harmonious as any professional sports league we have in this country. And that's not to say there aren't rivalries. That's not to say, you know, we didn't see some bad blood at times. That will always be part of the game. And I don't think fans would want that to leave the game. But it also is a suggestion that, you know, if you're looking for maybe one of the most efficiently run and sort of joined up leagues in the country, it does feel like the NBA is right there.
Talking with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Starlets. Get into some IU stuff. Our friend Kyle Nedenrip, who works with you at the Indianapolis Star, he was at the Lawrence North football game over the weekend, and he had some video, and I read his story on the game. Man, Donovan McCauley, IU commit, future quarterback, very likely for the Hoosiers. He's a talent. He's a real talent for that team, and I hadn't seen him in person. I'd seen some video of him. Still haven't seen him in person, but followed along with his game Friday night while we were doing our coverage of Southern Indiana football here on the Big X. And he is somebody that is a big get for this Indiana football program. That was clear to me over the weekend.
You know, I know at least sort of in a general way how much the staff really coveted McCauley. You know, I mean, even maybe above and beyond the way you would normally feel about a prime, you know, quarterback target. And I got to see him earlier this year against North Central as well. North Central's defense held him in check a little bit better that night. But you know, he's undeniably raw in some ways, and that's kind of natural. You know, I mean, it's very rare for a high school kid to be, you know, to come out, you know, flying, come out just completely and totally refined. I mean, that's what makes a guy like Trevor Lawrence so unusual. But you know, the mobility everyone can see, the body type everyone can see. But I also just, there is both an arm talent there, and I think a recognition of things as they develop quickly there that that is just, it's unusual. You know, when I saw him play against North Central, there was a play, I want to say it was in the second quarter after Omar Cooper, who's Lawrence North's star, I think junior wide receiver, had gone out with injury. McCauley was scrambled. North Central got a lot of penetration that night, really collapsed his pocket a lot. So he kind of broke to his right around the end, and he sort of retreated a few yards, and he kind of pinned himself in next to the sideline. And you kind of thought, oh, what are you doing? You know, you're leaving yourself without options. And then he just turned up field and he saw a receiver open over the top of the defense, and he flicked his wrist, and the ball probably went about 55 yards. And without wanting to criticize the receiver, I think it's fair to say that a Big Ten level wideout gets under that ball, both in terms of his speed and his change of direction, and also I think the way that he reads the ball. You know, I think that in that particular moment, the Lawrence North receiver didn't pick the ball up very well at first and didn't adjust his route quickly enough, and so it was an incompletion. But it was the kind of throw that just very few guys can make. And I think you understand, like any quarterback, that, you know, it's going to take time, and there's a lot of refining that needs to happen. And of course, if you're Indiana right now, the way things are set up, you feel like you're in a good position to do that, because Michael Penix is only a redshirt sophomore. You imagine McCauley will be able to redshirt and take the time to both build his body and also build his game. But the talent there is just fantastic, and is, you know, without wanting to get into hyperbole or put undue pressure on the kid, it's not the sort of talent that at quarterback that a program like Indiana ends up with too often.
Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, my guest. One other football question that I want to hit you on, something quick for basketball too, and we'll call it a wrap. But from a football perspective, I mentioned earlier on the show in our headlines that Indiana was predicted to the Pinstripe Bowl by one ESPN writer after week six of college football, even though IU and the Big Ten haven't played a game yet. Another writer, I think, had him in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I'm curious if Indiana can get to any bowl, and I know that the circumstances to get there, the win total, I think they're going to waive some things. I've kind of lost track on what all is going on with that, but given that it's an all Big Ten schedule, given that Indiana plays in the toughest division of the Big Ten Conference, if Indiana gets to a bowl, no matter how it works out, no matter what the win total is, if they're selected to a bowl this year, isn't that a success in this weird Big Ten season during COVID?
No, I think so. I think that's absolutely fair. And you're right. I mean, listen, I think you're going to be seeing some 2-6 teams or 3-6 teams, whatever, in bowls this year. And, you know, I think it's a little bit unclear at this point kind of how the bowl field's going to hammer itself out, because it's worth pointing out, too, that the bowls are kind of gutted by this financially as well, because, you know, a not insignificant part of a bowl's a significant portion of a bowl's revenue stream is corporate partners that may not be so eager to engage in the current climate and ticket sales, which obviously, you know, that maybe some bowls will be able to sell tickets. Who in the world knows where we're going to be in terms of public health situation in December and January with some of the worrying trends we're seeing. But the point is, we'll see what the bowl field looks like. But I think that if Indiana were to get to a bowl this season, you know, I think it would just kind of reinforce what we talked about coming out of last year, which is that it you don't want to overstate it. No one's suggesting Indiana's about to win the Big Ten East, but there is positive momentum. If Indiana were to reach a bowl this year, it would be 4 bowls in 6 years. If they were to beat Purdue, it would be 6 wins in 8 against Purdue. If they were to beat Michigan State, obviously they'd get that trophy back. You know, and I offer those examples because I think all of those are reasonable aims for Indiana this year, even against a difficult schedule. So, you know, I think it's very much one where if it doesn't happen, I don't think, as I've said before, I don't think anybody gets docked too much for it. But if it does happen, then you kind of get to claim it as a victory and, you know, just such an unusual season.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. I'm excited about IU Media Day tomorrow. Normally it's one of the chances I get to catch up with you guys and hear a lot from Coach Miller, hear from the players. We get some good audio and some storylines, topics to talk about on this show for the next few weeks leading up to normally the exhibition game, the secret scrimmage game. It's going to be different this year, but still looking forward to a virtual Media Day tomorrow when we'll get the chance to ask questions and hear from coaches and hear from players. And I'm curious, I know it creates a lot of work for you, but I'm sure you enjoy it. You get good content. People are interested, hungry for it. But what's the number one question you have or thing you're interested in learning about from Archie Miller or a player tomorrow?
That's a good question because, you know, strangely, I think it's not like there aren't questions to answer about this team, but I think we have a better sense of where Indiana is now than we have at any other point in Archie Miller's tenure. And listen, that's sort of to be expected. I think at one level, Archie Miller would probably almost say, if he cared what I thought, I think he'd say, well, yes, that's sort of the point. Look at it's year 4. It needs to kind of be there at this point. But, you know, I think we'll hear a lot, obviously, about Christian Lander, about Trace Jackson Davis, about the development of you know, complementary players like Race Thompson, who I think is going to step into a bigger role this year, Armand Franklin, you know, players like that. But one way or another, I think it's, you know, in a strange way, it sort of feels like we understand the state of play around this team better than we have in a while, you know, better than we have maybe dating back to 2015, maybe even 2013 or 2012. And it's just going to be a question of whether or not, you know, Indiana can rise to meet the expectations that I think are likely to be placed on this team. You know, one thing that is interesting, and I don't know that there will be any forthcoming announcement, but getting a sense for where Indiana is on scheduling, what they expect. You know, we've obviously seen the Maui bracket released now, but we don't know, you know, about the Big Ten ACC Challenge yet. We don't know about a conference schedule yet. Crossroads Classic, Gavitt Games. Will there be anything else? You know, what does Archie Miller think the Big Ten's going to do from a conference scheduling perspective? So I think that's going to be one part that's particularly interesting to me. It's just kind of where basically the program kind of is in terms of mapping out the coming season, because of course that's going to go a long way toward determining expectations and results for Indiana as well.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, always with us on Mondays to start the week from an IU perspective. Zach, appreciate your work. Appreciate your time with us today.
Thanks for having me as always.
Definitely. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with the final segment in this Monday program. Chad Gilbert, he's Charlestown's athletic director. He's an IHSA executive board member, and he joins us weekly as we talk local sports and more with Chad in his segment. Don't forget, catch the show as a podcast. If you can't join us live on the Big X weekdays at 11 a.m., you can find us in Apple Podcast and SoundCloud and most any place that you listen to podcasts by searching for The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. We'll head to a break. We're back with Chad. This is The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on The Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Monday program. Chad Gilbert joins the program. He's the athletic director at Charlestown High School, former basketball coach in the area for many seasons, and of course currently on the IHSA executive board as president. Chad, great to have you with us today. We've talked some about LeBron and Michael Jordan. That was fun with Zach Osterman in the last segment. But generally, your thoughts on the championship game or finals that ended last night. I know you and I, big basketball guys, if there's basketball on TV, we're going to try to find a way to watch it, whether it's the NBA Finals, college hoops, high school basketball, or even the TBT tournament that we love so much in the summer. Big finish last night, not the greatest game, but good season, good finish to the NBA bubble.
Well, man, I thought the NBA was fantastic. And shout out, you know, to them being able to stay in that bubble for 3 months, zero COVID cases, and for those guys to be able to maintain their competitiveness, keep their edge, and go out and go at it, because I thought it was one of the most competitive playoffs I've ever seen in my life. Those guys went at it. They played hard. And I think that's what caused the Heat. You know, in the first quarter, I told Amy last night, I said, Heat's out of juice. Man, they just ran out of energy. And I think you could see that as the game went on, because they brought it every round. And hats off to them, because they did an excellent job with the guys playing their role, doing what they needed to do to win, and being able to put that game plan together. As far as the Lakers, you know, what's there to say about the Lakers? You know, LeBron is LeBron. Question I've got for you, Matt. You see LeBron's stats, what he does as far as making each other better. I think passing is his number one skill.
You know,
I think he's a great passer.
I agree. Some of the passes he makes are unbelievable. When he first went to L.A., and I guess he's done this throughout his career, but you know, I didn't like him bringing the ball up the floor. I thought it took him away from some opportunities to play off the ball or do other things. But the more I've seen him do that, and I don't watch the NBA, Chad. I think we've talked about this. The playoffs is really the only time. This bubble, I've watched it even more because it's been the only basketball on. But that is probably one area of his game that I'm not sure he gets enough credit for. He is an amazing passer.
Oh, he makes everyone better. But have you ever seen anyone punish the rim the way he punishes the rim? I mean, when he dunks
the ball,
I mean, it's powerful.
No question.
What he does is unbelievable. But, you know, you talked about him bringing the ball up. The guy who's outstanding is Anthony Davis. And, you know, they let him play out of position just to soothe his ego and let him play the four a little bit. But when you put him in the five position, no one can guard him. And that's what they ended when it came time to win. They didn't fool around. They put Anthony Davis on the five, and Anthony Davis controlled the game. So, you know, that's – players win those games, but the coaches, you know, you've got to manage those egos, you know. So Frank Vogel, he had to massage Anthony Davis' ego, let him play some four with Dwight Howard. Anthony Davis is not near as effective at four as he is five. When he goes down the block, no one can stop him. But it was a great playoff. It was a great opportunity to watch basketball again. And the question I've got for you, Matt, is when will the NBA start up again?
I don't know that they've said for sure. I think, and how crazy is it that the draft is going to be coming up in November, which is always a fun thing to watch. But I think I've read that maybe likely after the new year sometime in January, which gives them a little break, but not much. And what I read that was Romeo Langford with his surgeries and recovery in the offseason I think one of the Boston Celtics beat writers told me that they were hearing and thinking it would be an early January start, and unfortunately Romeo may not be ready if it is a January start of some sort. But no matter when it is, it's got to be a quick turnaround if they're going to work to get back in some sort of normal time frame for their schedule.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you brought up Romeo. The Celtics will be ready to make a nice run out of the Eastern Conference next year. They had a great run this year, and I think you look forward to them and Romeo chomping at the bit to make a nice run in here and make a push for a world championship.
Yeah, no question about it. Chad Gilbert, he's athletic director at Charlestown, former coach. He joins me Mondays. We talk sports, a lot of local sports as well, and I want to head to some local stuff now. I want to talk to you about sectional football. Of course, you've got your Pirates from Charlestown that will take on the Pirates of Greensburg in the opening round of sectional play. But before we do any of that, David Pappenhaus of Silver Creek, and I'm honored to be, I don't know who else votes, how many, but one of the few people from Southern Indiana to vote for the Colts Coach of the Week program. And it's headed by a great guy, Paul Condrey, way up in the region of Northern Indiana. He's one of the best high school football guys I know. He knows the players, the coaches, the teams. He's like an almanac about high school football in our state. He always is with Coach Bob Lovell on the pairing show. Just adds so much to that program. But he asked me years ago to vote in this program. We get a ballot on Saturday morning that Paul puts together. There's 10 regions in the state. Some of the top wins from the night before, some of the big successes that teams and coaches are having this year. And I was honored when I got the ballot on Saturday morning from Paul to see that for our region, it's Region 10 in that program, that David Pappenhaus of Silver Creek, his name was the representative, and of course was thrilled to cast my vote for him. And I found out this morning that he actually is the Colts Coach of the Week. And a lot about Silver Creek this year, a lot about Silver Creek after Friday night, what they were able to do with beating Brownstown and winning the Mid-Southern Conference Championship. But I wanted to give a little credit to him for what he's done. He continued some, and had some help with Coach Dablo and others before, but he's really taken that Silver Creek program and where it was at when he inherited it and run with it.
Matt, first of all, I apologize for missing the pairing show Thursday. You did an excellent job, not only on promoting our players and our coaches in Southern Indiana, but promoting the excitement of our games, the rivalries, what the IHSA tournament's all about. So kudos to you on that.
Thank you.
As far as Coach Pappenhaus, you know, you can't find a better guy than him. We go back to our Jeffersonville days. He came to Charlestown and taught, was assistant with Coach Hawkins, and he's taken the bull by the horns over at Silver Creek. You know, if you look at his record the last 2 years, he's done what he's supposed to do. And there's a lot to be said about that. That's not an easy task. He stepped in. He's got those guys to buy in. He's got them to protect the standard. He's got them to do what they need to do to win championships. So excited, you know, I ain't going to say excited for Silver Creek because they're, you know, in our conference. I wish it was Charlestown we were talking about. But I'm happy for Dave and Silver Creek for their advancement in football. They're knocking off Brownstown. They're winning their Mid-Southern Conference Championship. But good luck to them with East Central in the first round.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, sectional football is here. Just to be frank about it, we don't have a lot of winners normally. We don't have teams often from this area that make runs deep into the tournament, get to the semi-state or state championship game. But we're hopeful this year. Floyd Central in 5A, Silver Creek in 4A have an opportunity to do so. As you think about the sectionals, as you get ready to wrap up the last week of regular season football, I know it's been a challenging season, especially for someone like you that's in an administrator position that's had to facilitate some of these different changes and rules and policies so we can play as safe as possible during a pandemic. But I know that adding excitement is something that sectional and postseason does, and they're just a different feel to it. We're kind of getting to that time of year where we're headed to one-and-done football very soon.
Well, you know, when the leaves are changing, you kind of feel that crispness in the air. And you know it is that type of – anytime there's a tournament involved, it's that type of year where it's win or go home. And so for these guys to have that opportunity to get to this point is a hats off to them, their athletic staff, their coaching staff, their parents, the student athletes, because every day, you know, they're still testing COVID tests. They're still doing their screenings at practice. This has been a long, tedious process – not just for certain schools, but for all schools. We've had schools miss games because of quarantine. And that's something that you just got to give a shout out to these schools for grinding, keep moving forward, keeping our kids, our fans as safe as possible, and giving these kids an opportunity to compete for a state championship. And that goes across the board, whether it's volleyball, cross country, football, tennis, any of those things that these guys have an opportunity to compete for. You know, it's not been easy this year, Matt. Like you said, there's been a lot of different hurdles they've had to jump, a lot of different BBs they've had to stack, but they've done that in order to keep our kids healthy and give them a chance to be successful.
Yeah, no question about it. And, Chad, as we get into the football tournament, we talk about these other fall sports that their tournaments are, you know, in the middle, in progress, ending, whatever the situation is. We're getting closer and closer to basketball, and I know it's very interesting on what seating is going to look like indoors and so forth. But one of the concerning things that we can't forget about with this virus is in Indiana, even in some parts of our local area, the numbers are going up. It's been an extraordinarily bad week or two for the state of Indiana, for the Midwest, and really, to be honest, for a great part of the country. And I just hope that we can keep this thing under control where it doesn't cost us indoor winter sports, fan participation in those games, maybe the whole sport and it, you know, called off at all. Let's hope it doesn't get to that point. But there are some concerning things with this pandemic, with these numbers that we're seeing, even locally right now.
I think moving forward, Matt, everyone has to take precaution. It's easy to do it. It's kind of like swimming. You see that shark out in the ocean, you want to get in there, you think, I've been in there, it didn't bite me once that first time, it bite me that second time. Let's see if it has a chance to bite you 1 out of 100. I'm not getting in. And that's what we got to make sure that we do as responsible adults, is we have to make some sacrifices, whether that's, you know, we've canceled our Halloween parties, we've canceled our Thanksgivings, we've canceled our Christmases, that we're just going to be tight niche instead of our whole family this year, just to make sure that we don't spread anything, we're not around anything, and we're not we're doing our part to keep this thing under control, because we want to make sure we, again, keep this thing down on a downward tick and not get on an upward tick, because we're not out of the woods yet.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, as always, thanks for the chat. Great to start the week with you, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Appreciate the run, Matt. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana sports.
Thank you very much. Chad Gilbert with me as we wrap up this Monday edition of the program. October 12th, middle of the month, college basketball here in a month and a half. IU Basketball Media Day tomorrow. And again, that means tomorrow or starting Wednesday with that show, we'll have a lot of content from Archie Miller, other players as well. Don't forget, check out the show as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcast and SoundCloud as well. I'll talk with you Tuesday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.